following is a digital media production.
It is what we do, baby!
This is Race Wars. Race
Wars. I have the power!
Yeah! How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch!
Race Wars.
How you doing, Curdy?
Oh, I'm good. Why don't you introduce our guest?
Yes, Mike Bruschetti's here.
Hey, guys, what's up? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Mike Bruschetti.
And
formerly of Artie Pod. And Stacey Fussman, I haven't seen in years.
I know, since The Room.
Where have you been? What was it exactly?
The Room.
You were at?
Kurt Metzger was hosting a showing at the... What was that called? That theater.
Oh, the Theater in the Village of The Room.
The Room. That,
you know that movie?
No.
The worst movie ever made.
Yeah, and it's great, but it's a watchable bad movie. That's the because a lot of bad movies you can't.
It's like
fucking
a famous.
Watch,
it's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show Part 2.
But it's so much better than that, Rocky. It's
yeah.
Comedy Central to promote Ugly Americans when it first came out had me go, like open up there at The Room, and I never heard of it before. And people go nuts; they throw shit at the screen and all that kind of shit. But it's way better than Rocky Horror.
Oh, really?
It's Tommy Wiseau. He's some weird rich Belgian guy, and he made this fucking movie.
It's such a good movie.
It's so good.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. He acts like an unfrozen caveman who, like, doesn't know how to talk to people.
Whoa. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you go to the thing where Karen, where we made a fake preview of The Room Part 2?
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, okay. So, the guy who played Mark. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. Yeah.
Yes. That's my buddy Greg, who I made friends with from this. So now that story of him knowing Tommy Wiseau is going to be a movie starring James Franco as Tommy Wiseau. Yeah, The Disaster Artist is Greg's book, Greg Sestero.
Okay.
And I got hooked on it. So I started just hosting the showings of the theater.
Right.
Like I made friends with the guy who had this deal with Tommy. And by the way, Tommy's as big a douchebag as he does
he
not disappoint.
Like a
yeah, it's not like you meet him and he's not
like
crazy.
It.
He's
I have no
crazier.
Idea who these people are.
Me either, really.
People
I know
who
they were.
He is.
I just saw Kurt. I'm like, oh, I know Kurt.
Tommy Wiseau. Wiseau.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so Haircut Jesse, who you know, Sherrod.
Haircut.
And Karen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know Jesse.
Yeah.
So we made this fake preview with actual people. Remember the guy, Aaron, that got his dick sucked on the couch?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Really?
We made a fake preview for The Room Part 2, The Room, with this guy in it.
Yeah.
And we were going to show it before The Room.
Oh,
and Tommy
crazy.
Was there. Yeah, Tommy was there. And Greg Sestero was afraid to be in it because he didn't want to piss off Tommy.
Right.
But the other guy fucking hates Tommy. The guy got a blowjob. He said he's like the meanest... most awful man. So Karen and my other friend Jesse led Tom, like they got dressed like sluts and led him out in the lobby to distract him because he would have got upset. Get on the Goldstein mic. Tell me what you said to him where he goes, oh, fun. Is the Goldstein mic on?
Yeah.
Is this mic working?
Yeah. Don't you remember what you said to Tommy? Like you guys walked out and he was like, oh, that's fun.
I don't specifically remember that.
Great.
I remember him complimenting our outfits, and we said he had a nice tie, and he went on about that for like minutes and minutes.
A Belgium dude?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't say. He'll just say he's an American.
Does he? With an accent like that?
You have never seen The Room?
What is he hiding?
Your next birthday, I'm going to bring The Room over.
I never saw it.
It's like a cult classic. It's like a new cult classic, a new-ish cult classic. Like
it sounds like white people nonsense.
It's a white people thing.
Like
it's like a millennial.
Oh, it is, but
millennial,
it's worth
it.
I'm not that much a white guy.
If you tried to make a movie that bad, it would be really hard.
That's the thing.
Because
he thinks
so,
it's great.
Yeah, it's so like perfect.
Right.
It's badness.
So he was dead ass.
No, you put it just right. It's if you were trying to ironically be this bad, you'd never pull it.
Because he was really trying to be good.
Right, he was trying to be good, but then when he found out people were laughing at it.
Right.
He was like, it's a comedy. So the preview is great.
Oh, yeah, she said that. I didn't know
Yeah, and
said
the
that.
Preview's great because it's like betrayal, something. It's all dark, and it goes, it's the new comedy from Tommy. Like, they just threw a little guy at the end saying that in the previews. He bought this billboard in Hollywood. You know that one prestigious billboard that I guess everybody
on
wants?
Sunset?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was a rich guy, so he fucking rented this billboard and had a screening, and all these big-time people, they saw the billboard and like, oh, what's this going to be?
Right.
And then they were in tears watching this movie. Dude, it's great. I mean,
really?
It's so,
all right,
yeah.
I gotta check it out.
And there's like really gratuitous sex scenes with Tommy Wiseau, the
you
main
me
guy.
Gratuitous.
Can somebody put it on Sherrod's screen? How can Sherrod see?
I can put it on.
Guys, to me, a cult classic is Frankenhooker.
You know, Frankenhooker is a cult classic,
no,
dude.
That.
You were not wrong about that.
Frankenhooker.
Yeah, it's just...
The opening of that's great.
Where, I remember Frankenhooker.
Where the girl thinks she's
too... It was like on those late night movies with Gilbert Gottfried in the early 90s.
So do we want...
Oh, there's sex scene from The Room. Now that's the guy
I
know.
This one?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he's a funny
this
guy.
This one was pretty funny. Wait, that one's Seinfeld.
The Room.
Content. Sign in.
This is stupid.
Fuck you. Google.
I'm not doing that.
Sean, I'm going to bring this for your birthday.
Okay, bet.
What about this?
Let's say
oh, that's hot.
Here's the sex scene. Look at the chocolate in his mouth.
Look at his facial expression.
Yeah.
Is he retarded?
Boo.
He looks like Al Bundy.
Is he retarded?
No, he's not. But he's getting a blowjob, so it turns him into a
cool Al Bundy.
That's a weird blowjob.
So
face.
When he gets have sex, his face gets weird.
It's terrible. The movie.
He's just a minor
I'm sure Tommy
character.
Demanded he act it that way.
Right.
That's an odd blowjob face. I've never seen a blowjob face that crazy in my life.
Well, you should have your eyes closed and handling business with your mouth. What
are you telling me, Tim Homme, you never made that face?
What the fuck are you peeking around for?
There's a lot of screaming going on around.
Tim Homme, you never made that face.
Are you trying to make eye contact with somebody?
I try to connect.
Aggressive son of a bitch.
No, I try to connect emotionally when I blow somebody.
Oh my God. It's like, what is he feeling?
That's nice of you.
On a soul level.
That is awful.
I have your cock in my mouth. I make a soul connection.
Yeah. Oh, flower shop scene. Okay, so Sherrod, just look at this. Now, this is Tommy Wiseau, if you've never seen him.
Okay, yeah, that's the dude right there?
Yeah, this is where he's
playing. Oh, yeah, do you want me to play the flower shop scene?
Yeah, okay. Play the flower
shop scene. He has that horribly dyed black hair.
Yeah, this is really famous.
That's his hair?
Look at him.
Can I help you?
Look how amazing he is.
Yeah, can I have a dozen red roses, please?
Oh, hi, Johnny. I didn't know it was you. Here you go.
That's me. How much is it?
It'll be $18.
Go. Keep the change. Hi, doggy.
You're my favorite customer.
Oh,
thanks a lot.
Cute.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Voice over like a fucking karate flick.
Hey, for some reason, they say Jessica's downstairs, and they say someone has to bring her up, and they're not giving her a fucking card. I don't know why there's a problem.
Does she have ID?
Yeah.
You said that with a question mark at the end.
Guys, when was this movie made?
I don't know. Do you know when it was made?
I think it was, I want to say the early aughts.
Yeah, 2007 I'm imagining.
Maybe a little earlier.
All right, yeah, I never heard of it, but
2003.
Because when I saw it, they didn't say it was a comedy, which is funny. I don't know why they said that.
He found out people were laughing at it, he was like, I intended to be a comedy the whole time. Then he went on to try to make a sitcom.
Uh-huh.
A sitcom called Neighbors, I believe.
Right.
Where he just has a wig over his... for as long and then so people keep and it doesn't make he's like a social worker but also a landlord. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And
who
then,
is this dude? Like, what? How did he make his? How did
he's
he make
mysterious.
His money?
It's like nobody really knows for sure. I was actually noticing, I just searched for The Room IMDb, and the top two Google results are The Room, the 2003 stinker that we're talking about,
right.
And Room, a very serious 2015 movie about a girl that was imprisoned and raped for years and years.
Whoa. That sounds like a comedy. Yeah.
No, that's a very popular movie.
That Room is not as funny as The Room.
It sounds hilarious.
I know, but The Room is funny.
Was that Room in Ohio, or was it three girls?
No,
I think the other one's that movie's based on the second Room, but that I got confused with The Room and The Room.
Yeah. How did this dude make
his
money?
Room and The Room.
How did this Belgian
dude? Well, when they're in that place, that cheesecake place, Aaron, he owns that restaurant. I know that.
Cheesecake Factory
for
Belgium?
Yeah, they're in San Francisco.
He owns a cheesecake factory?
No, it's not a cheesecake factory. It's just a fucking restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Try the cheesecake, and I think he's like plugging his restaurant.
He must be like a millionaire.
Hey, how the fuck were you not able to get in? Wow, you really are a dummy. All right, well, go by Karen. You know what? You could sit here, Jess, in the Andrew Goldstein commemorative microphone, because we're going to get to you in a second.
Good to see you.
Do you know Stacey and Mike Bocchetti?
Hey, everyone.
Do you know Aaron, Jess?
Hey, Aaron.
Hi. And Nick Mullen?
Bocchetti, he said that Artie's been being hard on him on air.
Why?
Yeah, well...
Artie Lang.
Because you know how to work your headphones?
No, it's just a lot of in the issues and turmoil. Okay, turmoil.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it? I have two kind of heavy
set. He said he's about to pop. He said he's about to go off. And
sometimes I feel, I
really?
I just feel like, you know, I don't know.
You feel
he's
like
just rude to people sometimes.
He's rude to some people sometimes.
Artie loves you, but he's just the way he is. You
maybe
know?
You guys are too near each other too much.
Maybe.
No, we're not near each other. When we were on TV all the time, we didn't even fight that. Well, I fought with Dan Moore, the producer, in those days.
Okay.
So wait, it's Artie's podcast now you're on and you're fighting on? What do you fight about? What do you get into it about?
No, he just likes to break balls a little too much sometimes. And, like, I feel like Joe Pesci and Goodfellas sometimes. Like, maybe I'm hurt. I don't shine shoes anymore. You know what I mean?
He breaks balls about my living situation.
He told you to get your shine box?
No, I got that kind of attitude.
He breaks balls about his living situation. Yeah. What's your living situation?
It's subpar.
That was the longest pause.
Okay, so your roommate's with Nick Mullen. Go on.
No, I wish I was Nick. Somebody, I wish I was roommates with Don Marrera, some national headline with some cash.
Who, where do you live?
Where are you?
Staten Island.
Okay, well, that's subpar.
Donnie Brasco.
That explains the subpar. No, but what's the subpar part of it? Like, what does he make funny, making
Not
fun
just
of?
Just like my, you know, he likes to break chops. Over the line sometimes, I feel, but, you know.
But he loves you, Mikey.
He loves Mike. So. They need couples counseling, I think. I think Mike and Artie
no couples counseling
like
for me.
Counseling.
I'll just, you know, let him have it.
If two heavyset white men can't get along, what hope is there?
What hope is it for America, huh?
For America,
no,
yeah.
No, just like...
tearing itself apart.
Stacey, what's going on with you?
What do you mean? In what way?
Where do you live? Who's your man?
I
got a punch in the face.
I don't got a man.
Who's the last one? Who should I punch in the face?
I was married. I was married for a very long time.
It wasn't a comic, right?
Tim, yes. Tim Homiune, Kurt's friend.
Tim Homiune. Who was Tim's buddy whose dad was again? Oh, Jimmy Del Valle.
That was his lover.
You never knew Jimmy D? Jimmy Del Valle?
Oh, yeah, I know Jimmy D.
Okay, so him and Tim Homiune used to hang out, and it was funny because it was like Bizarro, Kurt, and Big J.
Like,
I
was
we used to laugh because they looked like Funhouse, Kurt, and Big J. Right.
Funhouse Mara.
Except I was dating Delfino here, and Homiune was dating Stacey.
Yeah, I remember you guys dating when we started dating back in the day.
That's right.
Wait, she was dating who?
Tim
Homiune. Tim Homiune, Bizarro Kurt.
Y'all was dating. Yeah, I was dating.
Yeah, so Jess is technically Bizarro Stacey. Or vice versa.
It was very, yeah, so Tim and I got divorced about, I guess, 3 years ago.
How long were you married?
And what was it over?
We were together like 10 years, married 3 years.
Did you get divorced over too much busting chops?
No, we got divorced over food stamps. Anyway.
Really?
We were so broke. We moved like about 10 or 12 times. We were like, I'm like, how can't two people make like $600 a month? Like, I don't know what happened.
That's funny. That's kind of why me and Jessica broke up.
Yeah, but we were like 20.
Oh, we were like, not. Anyway. We were like a lot older. So we hated each other. Like,
right.
Now we're fine. Like, we're cool and shit. But like, back then we hated each other. Like,
how long were you married before it?
We were together like 8 years and we married. All together 10 years, I think.
So it was 2 actual years of marriage. That was it.
3 actual years.
You were actually married or common law married?
Actually married. We had I literally had like a $50,000 wedding, which I couldn't afford.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, what is wrong?
Because I'm a Jewish girl from Brooklyn.
That's no kind of excuse.
No, he
should have just said, because you're a nigga.
Actually.
You're a nigga. I'm wasting that fucking money.
That's not a Jew thing
that
to do.
That don't sound Jewish at all.
No, my parents didn't really want, he wanted the wedding actually, because he's a Persian. So he wanted the
wedding.
Oh,
good lord.
He made Persian Jewish. He wasn't even Jewish, but.
My goodness.
He was Arab.
The
anyway,
gold trim
wait,
on this
wait,
wedding.
Wait, he was Arab.
No,
dude.
He was actually Baha'i, but his family.
Tim was a Baha'i.
He was a Baha'i.
Wow, he is Bizarro Kurt.
He
what
was
the
bizarro.
Fuck
I was
Baha'i.
A Jehovah, and he was a Baha'i.
Baha'is aren't like aggressive, like they're not.
Well,
like,
I encountered them from knocking on doors
all,
as a Jehovah. That's how I first learned about them.
What's a Baha'i?
It's a cuckoo religion. I think.
Not that cuckoo.
Amy Carter was one at one point.
Jimmy Carter.
I believe so. Maybe I'm wrong.
Unitarian is like everyone love each other. Just you know, like it's not really.
I like that kind of stuff. Let's
anyone
could
be like you could say right now I'm a Baha'i. Like you could, I think you could declare it. I mean, I don't think you have to take a test.
That's all
like,
it takes.
There's no bar mitzvah, or christening, or anything.
I like it in the Baha'i.
You like
I heard
the
that.
Baha'i.
I actually heard
she
that.
She does Jessica. Like it in the Baha'i.
Yeah.
So I mean, we had a Baha'i Jew wedding with a gay rabbi. The gay rabbi pretty much molested Tim, and
what? Did he really?
He actually put. Now this. No, rabbis aren't supposed to touch you. He actually put our hands onto his chest as if we were having a threesome.
Really?
During the wedding, it was so weird. The pictures are hysterical. Like
those
that.
Rabbis get it in though, don't they?
Wow.
Yeah, they get it. He
and then if you had a baby,
rabbi.
A rabbi could like suck your kid's dick or something, right?
Yep. Forget about cutting it off. Just you know.
What's yeah.
We never had the baby, but he was a weird rabbi.
Now, did you and Tim talk about having a family and all that?
We never talked about it. I never talked about children with him. Which
but
I
you
don't
dream.
Know why.
You got your journal. You're a little Jewish girl. You got your journal with all the names of your kids that don't exist yet.
Seth, Joshy, Rachel, Sarah. Who else?
No, actually, I wanted to. Always, if I ever had a kid, because now I'm getting old, I don't think I could have one. I would name it Lilith.
No condom. I'm sorry.
Okay. I would have a name. I would not name the baby Lilith.
Lilith, like that. That's good.
That's
what
a
after
name.
The bad Eve that
yes, and also my grandma's name was Lillian, but I like
obey
that name.
Adam's shitty rib that had to be thrown out of the garden.
that
raised the children of the night who went on to be vampires.
That's perfect for me.
Lilith.
So it's not about
absolutely
the shitty fucking lesbian music festival.
Well, I mean, it's connected. That's why they took the name.
And the woman from Cheers, the doctor from Cheers.
Oh, yeah,
Cheers,
that's right.
That's how I learned the name from.
Lilith is a Jew fantasy. Right? There was Adam and Eve, but his first wife was named Lilith. And she wouldn't fucking do as she was goddamn well told.
So God
said, get the hell. Or what was it she didn't want to show? And she had some children she was washing, and God would like walk around, and she didn't want God to see her dirty children. So she tried to hide them, and then cursed them, and they became vampires.
I don't know that.
What? Well, that might be in a horror book I read based on that story.
From the Jehovah's Witnesses,
shit.
Right about the Jews.
No, Jehovah's Witnesses don't.
That sounds like a mashup.
It is.
I know. I'm such a bad Jew. I don't know anything about Judaism, actually, except that my mother makes me wear a dress during Yom Kippur and not eat. But that's it. That's
Karen, do you have to wear a dress and not eat during Yom Kippurs?
Not the dress part.
Oh, right.
My mother was mad at me once because I didn't wear a skirt. She's like, you can't go out like that.
Well, you wear pants?
Yeah. She's like, the neighbors can't see you wearing pants.
When the last time you've been at Temple?
1985.
Jesus H. Christ.
Oh, my God. You might as well be a Baha'i right now.
I'm not a good Jew at all.
I go to church all the time for people. Pray for people.
You're still going to hell, Mike.
Yeah. They ain't going
to
get you out of what you did.
No, but I try to be a good guy.
God is never going to forgive you for what you did, Mike. I don't care what your attendance record is.
Well, the thing is, you can go a million times and be a psychopath, but the thing is, you're right, because it's how you treat other people is the most important thing.
Yeah, Kurt.
Yeah,
Kurt. Oh. Well, it's good you brought that up, because Sherrod, as you heard, said the R word earlier.
What, retard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a word.
Not
I can say
redskin,
words.
Redskin, retard.
Yeah, retard. And,
I use that word all the time.
Yes, well, I used to, okay?
Uh-oh.
But I've realized now, since my friend Nato, do you know Nato Green? He lives
Green.
In San Francisco.
Is he retarded?
No, he used to write for Kamau Bell.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was a good guy, and he was nice enough to send me this list of 12 words you need to ban from your vocabulary.
Oh, let's hear them.
To be a better ally.
Okay, let's hear these 12 words to make myself a better person. Let's hear
them. I want to be an ally.
I like that it's not even a better person. It's a better ally.
I
want to
be an ally.
Anybody wants to be an ally? Okay.
What's an ally?
It's just to get more shit.
An ally is a fancy way of saying bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be more bitch.
How do I get more stuff?
So number one, lame. You have to stop saying lame. Now, can you guess why?
Why?
It's hurting
people. Because people are lame if they can't walk.
That's right, because there's a lot of lames out there.
And you lame shaming.
You lame
shaming.
Goddamn lame shaming.
Stop shlaming people. Yeah, it was originally used in reference to people with reduced mobility.
Which is everyone in this room, pretty
much.
I call them Forrest Gump legs.
That joke had reduced mobility.
What kind of mobility? Different types.
Well, disability rights activists have long called for the word to phase out. There's a link here, I guess, to them calling for that.
Okay, what's the second one?
Your one you just used, retarded.
Yes! So
now,
I'm on the list.
I never would say the word retarded, okay?
You just said it twice.
I spell it in front of them. Okay. I go, what is this guy? RITTARTIT or something?
It's never really retarded people that you call retarded. It's people that are not.
Well, you know what? I do understand
is that just
it.
Me
we
that?
Do have to stop saying it.
I only say it when I see
people
them.
Get upset.
Yeah, but the word retarded means slow. It's actually a musical term.
Okay,
so.
but here's the point. They have figured out what it means now, so we have to stop.
The retarded people did. The actual retarded people.
Yeah, that's our treaty with them. We change it.
What if I call them num-num brains?
That's even worse, Sherrod.
Historically, that was used to describe people that were missing their hands.
Num-nums.
Retarded?
No.
Num-nums. Oh, no shit. Okay.
That's offensive. Just made that very offensive.
Now, here's number three. And number three, I got to tell you, I'm surprised that it's number three.
Okay.
Colored.
Oh, yeah. Don't use it.
My dad uses that. Like,
my mom's friend is 90 years old said it. People from that generation. Yeah.
They don't think it's a bad word.
Well, give your mom props for saying colored and not just straight up nigger, don't you? Colored.
Kind of.
I hung out with my niece at Christmas, and we colored.
Yeah.
And you colored?
Yeah.
No, but actor Benedict Cumberbatch was rightfully criticized earlier this year for using the term colored.
Colored, yeah. It's like, what
it's
decade
nice
do you live in?
No.
Now
what
it's
are you,
not
box
nice.
Of crayons?
Then they go, the term Cumberbatch and you should be using is people of color, which is a what? But what, isn't everyone a person of some kind of color, number
here's
one?
Here's the thing. Just to be scientific about it.
Right.
Black is the absence of color. White is colored because it's all the colors.
Hold on. I thought black it absorbs all color, and white reflects all the color.
But black
is
the absence of color.
It is?
If you're talking about paint or light.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but someone said to me one time they don't consider me a white guy because I have Italian blood.
It's because of your income. That it's because of your income, Mike.
No, that was me, you goddamn ragu nigga.
I was called African. I was called.
They said that.
What
I'm
do
like,
you call
no.
me? Quarter well, Sicilian.
An octoroon?
Yeah.
Oh, I called you that. Yeah.
That you're not like the only cookie. One, but you're one of.
You're
I'm
fucking,
actually part Latina, hey, but no one knows it.
You're a fucking eggplant.
Sicilians.
I'm a Jew, and they never. I don't consider myself white.
You're a cantaloupe.
You shouldn't. You're a Jew.
Yeah.
Jews are only white on the coast.
Yeah.
Where TV and radio exist.
That's 100%. You're only in radio and TV places are Jews white. That's a great point. Okay. Number four, after colored, OCD.
Oh, no.
You can't say
Mike
OCD.
Mike has OCD.
I have major OCD.
You mean, what do you mean, like, as it's a disease?
You?
When you have your desk all nice and tidy, you might be tempted to proclaim yourself so OCD.
I'm highly OCD.
Yeah, but...
Mike's offended by that.
Do you, like, turn in the doorknob four times?
But that's how it started.
Yeah.
Years ago, like,
he was, he's been really sick with
looking
it.
At, like... stove, how many times it's off, mail and envelopes, you know, like the door. But it got worse over the years.
Oh, really?
It happened my whole life.
Do you take medication for
Yeah, unfortunately.
What kind of medication?
I take Paxil.
Paxil helps with that?
Ativan is like a major narcotic, but a low dosage, thank God.
No shit.
Yeah.
But it's weird because when I get it, I get really severely sick. I've been in remission for like 10 years now.
Wow.
OCD remission?
Being a comedian and an actor helps me the most with anything.
What does?
Being a comedian and an actor helps me more than anything. It's being focused.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to have to stop saying OCD, Mike.
No, you can say as much as you want. It's,
no.
Do you think people with OCD are actually getting offended by calling?
I'm just going to say you're retarded about time knots.
Well, I'm kind of retarded sometimes.
I'm not retarded.
Be retarded
I don't know. If you're really offending, if you're really offending people with OCD, you'll hear it 15 times in a row in exactly the same way.
They'll comment twice on top and three times on the bottom.
You cannot miss it because it will be repeated.
And they'll see it. Yeah, they'll see it.
Okay. What's the next one?
Number five, derp.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that is.
Stop saying derp.
Is that people who swallow cum? What is that?
No.
If you are into internet lingo, you've seen an overuse of herp derp. I don't know what herp derp is.
Herp derp?
Or derp to address internet faux pas everywhere. It may seem like a quirky phrase, but even before its inception, it was used to mock people with intellectual disabilities. That's right.
Derp.
My brother suffers from the derps.
Back
He's
the
got
derps.
The derps. Ryan Metzger has the
I
derps.
I actually have a funny derp story.
Derp.
What's that?
So this was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was working a Sunday shift at Jezebel, and you know, as I was working it, all of Gawker got hacked. And so somebody broke into Gawker's like servers and posted something to the front page of Gawker that showed a picture. Sorry, this isn't funny. It showed a picture of a girl with Down syndrome in front of a rainbow background, and it said derp, derp, derp.
Oh my God.
And it was up like that for like 4 hours on
the
homepage.
Did it make news?
We couldn't like get into anything. We were locked out of our CMS, everything.
Who was
derp?
It was published with Adrian Chen's byline, and Adrian Chen is an incredible features writer.
Right.
He just got hired to write for The New Yorker. So
he's a derp.
He was fine.
Off the strength of that derp article?
Yeah. It was. They were like, your long-form derping is really compelling.
I wish I had heard about that. That's hysterical.
We got to bring back derp.
I think derp is like a new generation, though.
I've never heard that word.
No, I never heard
the
it
first
either.
Second, Becky and derp.
Now I'm gonna want to use it.
Yeah, someday Becky will be offensive.
Well, not to Sherrod ever.
What, Becky?
Yeah,
no. Why would that be offensive? Getting a blowjob from
getting
a white
some
girl?
Becky. Does it have to be from a white girl? Because then why does he say white girls give me Becky? Doesn't it already mean
Yeah, Becky just
white
be
girl?
Head, yeah.
So it just means head. All right.
It just means head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Becky's
okay.
head.
Yeah. Well, number six.
I'll show you a little.
Crazy. If you're using the term crazy, you're probably in the norm, but that doesn't mean it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Terms like crazy or insane. Stuff. You can't say crazy?
I've been called that so many times by so many different people.
I know. You're a crazy bitch. What can you...
I
hate that word crazy. You know, zany. Fuck that stuff. You got to be yourself.
I mean, even when I was hospitalized, when I had a bad panic attack and peed on the floor.
Whoa.
Really?
Backspace.
I think you just moved from crazy to derpy.
Backspace.
Yeah, I went crazy.
You derped on the floor?
2004.
Right.
I went to the hospital, a major panic attack.
What hospital?
I've gone to the hospital for
St.
that.
St. Vincent.
St. Vincent.
I went nuts. I ran out naked. And,
you ran out the hospital naked?
No, out of the house naked.
Really?
Yeah, dying. And just like a t-shirt, basically, no underwear.
Yes.
And then this is true, so I can't believe I'm telling you guys.
Oh, Stacey, yes.
So the police took me to the hospital.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And they and I started cleaning. I ran around the naked, and I just squatted and peed in the middle of the emergency room floor because they weren't paying attention
to me.
That's
still sexy as fuck.
Still
I
want to
see this
get
turned into a porn. I think
I'm
going to
jerk off
to
that. No, yeah. Guaranteed.
And then they gave me Ativan, and I was like, what the hell did I just do? And
Ativan, is Ativan speed my, or no, like a
no,
tranquilizer?
A tranquilizer, but it just went right in my veins.
It's a heavy duty
and
narcotic.
It was like it never happened. It was so weird. I'm like, I just peed on the floor. I was cleaning homeless people's feet like Jesus Christ would do.
We
got to
get our hands on some Ativan.
Isn't that a scene in It Follows? Have you guys seen that movie? It
I haven't seen it. Is it good?
No.
Someone else did that?
So good. Yeah, there's a scene. I'm not going to give away too much, but there's a scene where there's an appearance of like this evil thing that's in the movie, and it appears as a girl who is like peeing on herself.
Really?
Let's explore this, though. Stacey, what else have you peed on that you ain't supposed to have been peeing on?
No, I don't pee on people that often, but if you pay me, I will.
Hey, what do you mean that often?
Yeah, how often is that often?
Just the normal amount anyone
no,
does.
No, I haven't done
every birthday?
Yeah, do a birthday present or something. Maybe I'll pee on somebody. But it's not my thing, really. But I enjoy it. It's like a release.
Do you know what they call peeing on people? A Persian birthday in honor of Tim Hummel.
Oh, that was
my Persian birthday.
No, that was shitting on people. But anyway.
Okay. A celebration's a celebration.
Number 7 of what we have said, tranny. But we all, I already knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that name.
Transsexual.
Yeah,
I still don't get why adding like or removing syllables makes things nicer, you know? Like if you go, don't say tranny, say trans. Like, is the why?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Also, if it doesn't take that much effort and it really makes a difference to people, then it's sort of like, eh, okay.
I don't have to say tranny at you at all.
Yeah, here's
the
good thing about me.
I got no issue with it.
The good thing about me, I can make it all seem offensive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's how you say it.
I call you a transformer. You know. Now, this one's ridiculous. Number 8, illegal.
Aliens.
You have to stop saying illegal. Undocumented. No, fuck you. I'll say illegal.
No.
You're fucking illegal immigrants. Fuck you. Why am I going to not say illegal?
Because you're not illegal. You're on Earth. You belong to Earth, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but you're here on this part of the Earth illegally.
Yeah, but how do you know you're talking about people when you say illegal, though? It doesn't always mean them.
Let's say undocumented. What's the hassle?
Undocumented? No, I'll just say illegals. Because number one, you're here legally. You're breaking a fucking law. Listen, I'm not even against you, but I'm not going to make it nicer because it has a negative connotation. Fucking rape has a negative connotation. I'm not going to call it surprise sex to make the fucking rapist feel better.
Not when it's Luke and Laura in General Hospital.
That was surprise
that
sex.
That was love!
Wait, is that word on the list? Did they
have a rape scene?
Rape?
Oh, did they? That's
the
how they met.
No, rape is not so far.
This isn't a list of trigger words. This is a
list
of
It's a list of words to remove from your vocab.
Never say
the next one.
To be an ally. Jip. Like when you get jipped out of.
Oh, really? I've been saying that word forever.
Well,
they jipped me out of $100.
You should know, jipped comes from the word gypsy, which refers to the Romani people who are often characterized unfairly as swindlers. It's not
they
unfair.
They are swindlers.
It's not unfair.
I thought it was for Jewish internet personalities.
They always look so dirty in movies, though.
The gypsies are I'm not I don't want to say bad things about them, but they stole
but you
my...
Can.
Okay, I'm going to say I'm terrible.
They robbed you.
They actually took my grandfather's from South America. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Calm down, first of all. Calm down.
This is a very
tell us how they gypped you.
No, they actually stole his sister.
I thought you were going to say some jewelry.
They stole his sister and they never to be found again.
I thought you were going to finish the sentence. They stole his sister's something.
Right.
They stole the whole sister.
Whoa.
Yeah, she was tied to a tree. That's what they did back then. And they came through the jungles or the forest of Argentina, and they stole her.
Yeah.
Why was she tied to a tree?
Yeah, why was she tied to a tree?
Because my mother told me that. I don't know
why.
Everybody relax.
That's so sad.
Let's breathe this out for a second.
She was like tied like a
safely,
like a dog.
He had her safely tied to a tree?
No, not him.
First of all.
The mother.
It sounds to me like the gypsies did her a favor.
Well, maybe she did, but
she freed her.
That's what my mom, the story.
That's how they took my bike.
Stacey, listen to me. Look at me, Stacey.
The true story.
Was his sister a bike?
So, now, who was this person?
My grandfather's sister.
Your grandfather's sister. Are they from Argentina?
Yes.
Okay.
They were Jews from Argentina.
Jews from Argentina. Right there, I'm already disgusted with the story.
So the mother, they had a lot of kids, I guess a few kids.
And they tied the daughter to the tree.
Not like in a bad way. Like
for safekeeping.
Like the way you tie a dog to a post.
That
you
was
go
their
PO. Like a similar
tree. Because the mother was working in the fields. And
oh, wow. What?
And you can't babysit.
My mother told me the story.
So the babysitter was rope.
There's no babysitter back
How
then.
How old was the sister?
Three years old.
Whoa.
And then the gypsies came through. They took her and brought her to the caravan, never to be found again.
They probably thought they saved this little girl from being tied to a tree.
I mean, if you saw a dog tied
to a tree in the middle of the field, would you be like, I got to save this dog?
Yeah, but they could have raised her, though.
I'm sure they raised
probably
her.
Did.
She wasn't abused. Like, it was just
you know what else they did to her? Fucked her.
Well, there are kids on leashes now. I mean,
they
it's the same thing,
fucked
right?
the shit out of that little girl.
No, you know what, though? Like when Native American people, I hate to use the word captured, but took people like, you know.
I don't know why she was tied to
you. What are you talking about? Dance with the Wolves or some shit?
Yeah, I love that movie. That movie's awesome, man.
Are you talking about Dance with the Wolves?
I love when they fucking killed those fucking white savages. Yeah, I love it, man.
I was actually raised and found by white derps. And they raised me in their way of derpery.
Yeah, they did.
Derpery. Aren't you speak derpanese?
No, I never picked up the language. Oh.
Dancing with Wolves was an awesome film. I loved that movie.
That was a good movie.
It was okay.
Okay. Oh,
Derps
wow.
with Wolves.
Well, let me tell you what word. Let me tell you. You
what,
can
we
love
up to
that
number
movie.
Eight?
We're up to number 10.
10, okay.
We'll have two more to go after this. Exotic.
Okay, I'm done. Now I'm done with
you. Can't use exotic?
If your new coworker has a name you've never heard of before, like his name is Tim Hamayoun.
Yeah, you can't say that.
The most plus Tim's had in 10 years.
Hold your tongue before telling him or her it's exotic.
Yeah,
using this
that.
Word ends up exoticizing whomever you're referring to. It's a very... listen, if there's only one of you in an area and you're the only one of your whatever you are, then you're exotic. It just goes by location.
Yeah, but here's the other side of the coin. If you're a white person and you see something you never saw before, don't just assume that it's exotic, though.
Well, it's exotic.
It's something you never saw before.
I don't see it around a lot.
Can white people be exotic?
Sure.
Sure.
Anyone can be exotic.
Yeah. White people can be too.
Show me a quiet one.
I also think it's kind of rude.
Which
would
you say?
It's kind of just rude to be like, oh, you're an exotic person. Like, that's just rude.
If you talk about cars, it's fine.
I actually take, I go and I write on their forehead, I draw a box and write other and check it.
And then check it?
So
no,
that's how I handle it.
That's
around saying
but that's I always think it's a positive
that's
word.
That's logistics.
It's, this is that's so
weird. It feels positive.
But I've never heard a person referred to as exotic. Usually your outfit is exotic or, oh, that's
oh,
kind
you
of
look
an
very
exotic
I used to
place
get,
to
well,
go for
look,
vacation.
When I'm tan, everyone goes, you look very exotic.
Of course. If you look like you're from a goddamn snake charm and magic carpet place, it's exotic. But if look. An Asian girlfriend could be exotic in Toms River, New Jersey, where I grew up. That would be exotic. But in San Francisco, you can't throw a rock without
having an
Asian girlfriend.
But what about a white person in India? Are they exotic?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't buy that.
Why? There's not a lot of them.
It is different. It is different. Exotic ain't the same thing.
If I'm Indian and I don't know anything and I've never seen one of you before, I'll go, oh, that's exotic. I don't understand the problem.
If a white person is in India, the Indians are foreigners. And the white person is exotic.
I'll go to India and call him exotic there.
He should.
Look at all these exotic spices and smell. Oh, and there's someone exotically shitting in the street. All right.
That could be America, by
number
the way.
11.
It could be. Chinatown.
So that could be Chelsea or any Saturday night.
Number 11. Ghetto. You have to not say ghetto.
Yeah,
now,
I
how
agree.
Am I going to tell the taxi driver how to take me home later? Take me to the...
the nice area.
Dominican Republic. Just say that.
Classism and racism run rampant when you call a place or a person ghetto, and that should make anyone cringe.
Yeah, people Shut misuse up. It. Whenever people misuse words, that's when it's time to say nobody uses it now.
You know what? That's what it is. It's because someone else was annoying using it, and now it's like, but guess what? I'll just use anything I want.
Not you, Kurt. It's not replying to you. It's replying to human beings.
Yeah.
Like, don't use these words in a job interview.
Oh, ready for number 12? How about this? Fat.
Mm. Oh, now,
stop using fat.
Is that P-H-A-T or F-A-T?
No, F-A-T.
Yeah, you can't use that.
Stop using fat in a way that shames others or even yourself. Sure.
That's true. Actually, I talk about, about eating disorders.
Oh, and this is brings me to, because you just got in a, what is the thing about on The View? Who said something? Didn't you just get in a thing with this?
Yeah, someone wrote about me. I speak on eating disorders, like all over the country. That's like, because I had bulimia, I used to vomit, throw up my inner child.
Stop bragging.
I know. I'm very good
Humble brag over here.
Humble brag. And I did a joke. I try to be humorous in my lectures. Right. So I guess the whole thing in The View, they were being offensive towards eating disorders. And then this woman blogged about how she saw me talk at this this candlelight vigil, how I wasn't offensive, but I was funny. And how you can joke about eating disorders if you do it the right way.
She was great. She brought me back a thing from his vigil.
So and calling yourself fat actually triggers people into eating disorders. It does. I've seen it happen. So it happened to me when I used to be young, when I was younger, and I was an actress doing shows, and very thin women would call themselves fat, and I'd be like, well, they think they're fat, I must be obese.
So you're blaming them for your stupidity?
No,
is that what you're telling
them? No.
Hear out, Kurt.
For your derpy fucking problems?
Yes, I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying I'm aware now when I call myself fat, and you know, for myself, I don't care. You can call anyone call themselves fat. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kieran can call herself fat, obviously, or Jessica, they're obviously.
Don't
emaciated.
Look at my fat fucking girlfriend. Look at this fat Jew sitting here.
No, so, you know what I'm saying? But, like, if someone like her and I was like younger, I'd be very triggered. But now I'm, you know, I've been in recovery and better. But a young woman or man might be very triggered by that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying from my own experience.
Here's a question.
You take your own responsibility.
Okay, but yeah, listen, calling somebody to be mean to someone, be like, oh, you're fat or whatever, that's one thing, which I just wouldn't do anyway. Unless I didn't like the person, then I'd take whatever. Right. Good about them. If you don't like Rush Limbaugh, I think it's fine to call him a fat fuck. I don't
know.
No,
it's not
problem.
Okay to do that, Kurt.
Why? You would
stick to
above...
the issues.
No.
Attack his politics.
Yeah,
guys,
I'll
be being an adult, Kurt.
Guys, no, I was a fat guy most of my life, right?
Yes. No.
but him being fat is part of the issue.
No, but the thing
actually.
Is, 2 years ago, I was a 4X.
Okay.
Right. I was an naughty show.
Now, is that an RB
I'm an XL
group?
Now. I'm fit into it. You know what I mean? But the thing is, being, you know, fat your whole life, it hurts. That's why it's like, and it was a health reason too, but it's like, I hate that. I heard that word my whole life. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
It sucks.
Well, I mean, I think you don't want to be called fat, but sometimes you hear someone else calling themselves fat.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not well.
Yeah,
it
listen.
Could be,
I'm not saying
you
let's call Mike fat. Although I will do that.
That's
I'm saying,
like, you called yourself fat.
And I'm a little fat right now. And to say that I shouldn't call myself because some
you
fucking
can,
cuckoo bird's gonna fucking go get their puke stick. I mean,
no,
come on.
It was worse years ago.
I do tell people to watch how you talk about yourself.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Watch how you talk about yourself.
I'm not saying that you can't use it, but just be aware that it might affect people.
This is what I'm looking at. Fat is not a feeling. And then there's like a fat emoji because you're not supposed to say you're feeling fat.
And fat, though.
Every girl on her period, though, I'm feeling fat. What's the fucking problem?
I feel fat every time I have my period.
Am I supposed
they say
to,
bloated,
feel,
you animal.
How did you say in the car, Karen? We're just going to take all the color out of language. What did you fucking say when we were talking about this? Because I'm angling. I'm going
to
mangle. Because I'm going
to
steal it from
you. Everything has to be bland and colorless and shapeless now. That you can't,
yeah,
you
why,
can't,
it's just
can
colorful
have a
language. Your feelings,
yeah,
your problem.
That's what I said in
but
the
look,
car.
America's too fucking fat as a country.
Oh, we're obese.
By the way, yeah, America, this is what I love.
I agree.
America's obese.
We're unhealthy. We're
and
unhealthy.
If you ask anybody, like, is America too fat? Even the person that wrote this, that's right, America. We're so fat and stupid. America. But then any one individual within America is not fat. They're
right,
all beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah.
So how does that work that at the macro level, it's all too fat, but on an individual level, everyone's perfect
and
why, beautiful.
Why is America so fat?
Yeah,
we've got so much money. We have so
Kurt,
much
one thing though, some people, food is power to some people when you think
it's
about
a drug.
It.
Food is
like,
a drug
right.
to people.
No, yeah,
some
I get
think,
it.
You know,
I
like
drugs.
Like, say you grew up in severe poverty, right? And you get super wealthy. People like to like eat and like, to them, it's power sometimes.
Yeah.
You know
and
mean?
It's, and it's comfort. It's comfort.
Hey, that's great. But I don't, I still don't get like.
That's a good point.
You're
like,
supposed to be able to not feel ashamed of your habit also.
There's actually a study that just came out maybe a month ago, and it was about the role of like shame in motivating healthy habits. And it was really interesting because there's such a push that's like anti-shame, don't blank shame me. And these like researchers studied like the role of choice in specific things that we classify as diseases, like alcoholism, addiction, obesity. And they found that like it is a disease, but it's not the same kind of disease as like cancer, obviously, because I can't wake up in the morning and when I go to work be like, my tumor's not going to grow if I have a tumor. But I can go to work and be like, I'm not going to drink every single minute of the day. So there is an element of like choice involved. So they're talking about how like because there's choice involved in like obesity and substance abuse, in like a professional should figure out how to harness like mild shame in order to influence people's choices, which I think is really interesting because like the word fat isn't necessarily like the very worst thing in the world that can happen to you. Being called fat is not the worst thing that can happen to you if you're fat. The worst thing that can happen to you if you're fat is dying of a fucking heart attack.
I thought you were going to say lard ass.
Yeah, yeah,
but
do you think
can I ask? Like, the worst thing that can happen to you.
That's what lard ass would be the lunch.
It's worse to be called a fat fuck, though. Don't you
mean? There you go.
All right, can I ask? Can I ask
my
a question?
My dad used to call me fat, and I didn't understand what it meant. Yeah,
but that, he still fucked you.
He was trying to help you.
Yeah, true. And then I.
He still got it up there. Do you think that alcoholism and overeating are, like, of those two, which one is more of a disease that, you know what I mean? Like, which one is more of a choice and which one is more
I
of a...
I don't know. I
think they're both
I think they're pretty...
The
they
same?
Go hand in hand.
Nice. Yeah,
you know, 75% of bulimics, women in their 20s also have alcoholism. Do you know that? I'm sure they are. 70 something percent.
Well, yeah, because if you ain't eating or you throwing up all the time, you ain't got nothing to soak up that alcohol.
I
like.
You know,
drunk,
a big root
bulimia.
Of this problem, though, with this beauty standard horseshit is instead of telling women that you don't, like, maybe there's something valuable to you other than your fucking physical beauty, we have to do this nonsense where we go, every woman's beautiful because God forbid a woman doesn't fucking feel beautiful. Maybe you're not beautiful. You could do other shit. Why does it have to be this lie? Well, Mike Buschetti, you're beautiful, and you're an engineer.
Let's
just be fucking honest. Most people are not beautiful, so this is where all the puking comes from. Because you, I could be a model
they're
too,
telling
right?
You that beauty comes from different things, not just your physical appearance.
And sometimes it don't come at all,
and sometimes it don't
fine.
Come at all. Yeah, sometimes.
I wrap it from the inside, though. It's better to be a better person in the inside.
Maybe you have a good personality.
Yeah, but like, I think the beauty thing comes from like it's easier to sell people products if you're like you're beautiful because you can't.
That's it.
People.
You just you hit the nail on the head.
You can't
that,
convince
yes.
people. Like, people aren't going to buy Dove body wash if it's like, what? You're smart.
Right.
Like, they want it because it's like, everyone's beautiful.
You're right.
It's
not... some guy like me taking half a shower and looking to buy
you
shit.
It's funny.
But that is where that came from. It's like the weird marketing where they take some feminist thing and they want to sell you some shit.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how that bullshit, like, because every woman's an underwear model. And that's what it was. So you'll buy more fucking underwear.
But that's like just marketing. You're talking marketing.
That's, right.
That's not people. That's just marketing.
But
marketing
what happened was it bled in. It bled into shit, and now we have this nonsense being said.
Marketing
like,
is
other
fucking
things.
Evil shit. Because
well, look, I mean,
well, some of it is like
I can't tell
I've
people.
Been sober from alcohol almost 19 years on St. Patrick's Day. Right.
Nice.
That's
and
you I stopped went, on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, on purpose.
Whoa, that's hilarious.
That's congrats,
right?
Man.
So I went. About 5 years ago, that's why I don't like to go to bars. I can't, you know what I mean, be around it. Like 5 years ago, I went into a liquor store, right? I started smelling the booze. I had to get out of there. But not only that, when I used to drink, I drank like Jack Daniels, all, you know what I mean? Just basic generic stuff.
Right,
yeah.
When I went in the liquor store, this is why advertising is evil. I seen like, you know, like chocolate vodka, all kinds of flavors.
Oh, yeah.
Packaging for kids. It's like... You know what I mean? The 18-year-old kids is like, hey, you know what I mean? They're fucking
it's
with
like
their brain.
It's like candy,
you know?
And they're trying to, yeah, get them.
Yeah, chocolate, alcohol,
think about it.
Delicious.
It's fucking evil in a way.
Yeah. Imagine if they had posters in alcohol stores that said alcohol made you beautiful. We'd be
really fun. Oh, wow. Well, they kind of imply it.
It's actually kind of true.
No, alcohol makes the other person beautiful when you fuck them.
Dude, what about the fucking marketing of like Axe body spray that like you're going to spray this shit and even your toaster is going to be jumping on your dick?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking like, what is it? Or when they get mad... This is what makes me laugh because I would read feminist blogs about who's that Carl's Jr., right? Where they have some chick in a bikini and a burger. And it's like that also offends me, that commercial, but not for a different reason, which is why would you think tits would make me think a burger is better than another burger? Like, it's the insult to my intelligence is what I'm upset about.
But they get your attention.
Like, how dare you put tits?
They get your attention.
It plays to the lowest common denominator.
Listen, as long as you're being compensated adequately, by all means, use tits.
Have you ever turned away from that commercial when it was on TV?
I just too zone out. I don't give a fuck.
But you zone out now because you saw it a million times. When you first start seeing it, you look at every fucking frame of it.
Do you eat at that place?
Carl's Jr.
I don't think there's one in New York.
Me too.
In LA, they have them, but not in New York. Out of New York, they have it.
Does advertising work for anyone in this room? Have you ever seen something on TV, a commercial for it, and been like, I got to go do that? Has
hell
that
yeah.
Only if I already wanted it.
Hell yes.
Only if you already wanted it.
Like, I've never had an ad turn me in. That's why I'm not.
I hate Pepsi. I'll never drink Pepsi.
But that's why ads aren't evil. They can't make you do something you didn't already want to do. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I think that they can normalize behavior and make you think that it's like over a long period of time, convince you that you're supposed to have something. And then eventually one day you'll be like, I'm supposed to have this, and then you'll buy it.
Because I don't disagree that happens to people, but it don't happen to me. And if it happens to you,
here's a really good example.
It happens to you.
Like things I use already, not things I would never use. I like that makeup. It looks like a cool makeup. Or
it's like things
clothing.
That you're familiar with. Just like if it could be AIM fucking or Colgate toothpaste. You're familiar with that because they put it down your throat for your whole life. So you think you're making your own choice. But it's a whole bunch of toothpaste you could choose from.
Well,
but you stay with your top three that pushed it on you for your whole life.
You know what you just reminded me of? Because this is what I understand. Like, I don't understand why McDonald's even advertises at all. Because I'm going to eat McDonald's if I want it when I get a weird craving for it.
But they
want
to remind you. They want to remind you that you want McDonald's.
It's raising McDonald's awareness, basically. Like, you know.
It's like cancer. Who's not aware of McDonald's or cancer at this point?
McDonald's commercials are, remember us? That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Hey, nigga, remember us? And you go like this. I ain't have a Big Mac in a long time.
Dude, I read a column.
Worth 99 cents for this week or something.
Do you remember the New York Press? They used to be a free paper. There was a guy named Mugger, and he wrote a thing that I thought was so funny. Talking about how he hated McDonald's and Coca-Cola commercials with these young kids, and he called it, they take six demographically correct young people. Demographically correct. You know, the guy with the fucking hat dancing with a burger.
Oh, yeah. You know what they always used to have? Do you remember they'd have like kids clubs on the Happy Meals? Right. Like the kids' meals. But they were demographically correct, but they would be cartoons of demographics.
No, the cool wheelchair kid.
There was always a cool wheelchair kid, and he did wheelies, and he also, and there was like a computer guy who was like,
it is kind of cool though that they had a thief as one of their like mascots.
Who was the thief? Hamburglar? Yeah. No, he didn't hang out with the kids. No. That was the Burger King Kids Club that you're talking about.
How did you get shit into Hamburglar?
Ronald was a little bit of a pedophile.
Well, how do you know
Come
that?
On now.
He touched me.
It's not like he tied someone's sister to a fucking tree and she got stolen by gypsies. Ronald McDonald touched you.
No, she's talking shit.
It might have not been the real Ronald.
No, it was the guy at my birthday party.
That's a new name, Ronald.
It was Ronaldo.
He was holding a burger.
That was like a big deal when I was younger to have a birthday party at McDonald's.
Okay.
Like,
that was a big deal. The outside fucking with the slide and all that.
There was a Ronald.
Oh, yeah, they had a Ronald. You remember those?
Wow.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, we had those. Yeah.
They grew up in Brooklyn, too.
Oh, yeah, grew up in Brooklyn.
And then after that happened, did Mike Buschetti get fired from that McDonald's?
Yeah. It's like, where's the pants that came with the outfit, Mike?
I'm like, I got so excited. My mom was getting me a Big Mac for my birthday. It was like,
hey. Well, listen, before we, because I think we got a break coming up.
We got Frank
the Cop's going to call because we got two things to get into.
Okay, who?
One, Frank the Cop that told the fucking thrilling conclusion to that fight I got into.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the thing, and there was a slight controversy with that. So I think Frank's going to call in. I don't know if he has already.
No.
All right, but Frank the Cop, call it because we'll do it after the break. We'll take his call. And then the reason Jessica Delfino's here is because, can you summarize very quickly for before the break?
I wrote a blog post about the men who've harassed me in comedy over the years.
But how did that
did
come
you
about?
Mention me by
that,
name?
I read that.
I was invited to offer stories of men who had harassed me to a writer, and I couldn't think of any, so I wrote a post. Well, I wrote a blog post about the men who harassed me, but I couldn't think of any, so I just wrote down some women who had pissed me off instead.
Right, and so Jess got somebody fucking tried to like bully her into taking it down. Well, not bully, like they showed.
Wait,
showed
it wasn't,
Jessica.
It wasn't particular one person in particular. There, but you know, there was some backlash from the piece and some people who I respected and were angry. And
you told me those names, and I still don't get why you respected them. But
wait, so you was going to write a piece about the guys who bugged you in the business, who like harassed you in the business.
Well, I was asked if anyone had harassed me in comedy.
Oh, listen, somebody asked you that. Yeah. Okay.
Because Erin has it prepared. Now, this is what I'm saying after the break, because when we run Erin's news thing, she'll read the thing. It's called womenincomedy.org.
Okay.
And his chick started it to get with female comedian stories of how male comedians have made it hard for them as a woman. Now, the bullshit of this is more than likely a woman was in comedy, in stand-up. I don't know how improv works, because I'm not a fucking cream puff. But in stand-up, it's mostly, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, 9 times out of 10, the person making you feel shitty is going to be another female comic. Would you say I'm right or wrong?
Every once in a while, yes. The one or two times.
Actually, you know what? We'll ask you too when we get into it.
And we have to. Yes, she lived it.
Just the thing that irritates me about this website is it's almost like a lie of omission where you're trying to create this thing of that there's male versus females of stand-ups. Like, the men and the women are against each other.
God, that's so fucking
bullshit. And the women have to band together because these men are coming at you from all sides. And that's really not how allies are made in this business. Not by gender.
No.
Right.
Your friends and shit are all different. It's really funny people.
Yeah.
Or at least people with the same sense of humor grouped together. together right. and form cliques and then make other people feel unwelcome. It does not break down by gender.
Right.
Okay?
No.
So this was originally started.
I would say clubs do that. Comics don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bookers. Right. But I've been harassed by
bookers. Bookers do that.
Bookers are notorious for that.
Well, I want to get into it because what's irritating is, so this person had an agenda to create this fucking idea. So the second a woman doesn't have the story she fucking wants to hear, okay, no thank you. And Jess is not the only one. In fact, I'll see if she'll call in. I won't name her by name. It's my friend, other friends, a female comic. Same thing. Well, I can't really say about any male comics making it hard for me. I could name some women. No, thank you. Not interested. Tell the whole fucking story. Don't try to make a fucking one-sided
thing.
Yeah,
so they're trying to pick and then make it guys and girls.
Even if it's not a lot. Look, let's say there's only two instances of sexual harassment or sexual assault. That's too many.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem just because there's only two.
Right.
So what this website does, you don't have to throw in nonsense with real things to like pad the stats.
Right.
If only two rapes happen, that's too many
too bad enough.
Right.
It's not like it's not a big problem just because it's not as huge as you know what I mean? Right. Like the numbers aren't as big as you want.
Here's kind of how I've kind of seen it shaping up from a like journalism perspective. It seems like there are places and pockets where it's a real problem. And it seems like there have been writers who've tried to make stories that are bigger than the pockets about the problem.
Yeah.
So and so like I mean when you're working on you're working on a story and you're a journalist, you want it to be a big story. And sometimes you just have to look in places and I think confirmation bias affects the way that you depict things.
There you go.
So I think that I don't know. I wrote for a comedy show for a season.
Boom.
And I can say anecdotally that I didn't really have any problems with men being shitty to me, even though I don't have any kind of comedy performance background. So it's like, I think that it's like what happened was this narrative was kind of pushed in these like big stories. There was something in the Chicago Tribune. There have been like blog entries about it. And then this sort of is like a piggyback onto that trend.
The main story I want to get into is, and by the way, including Jess, you're all welcome for bringing my goddamn name into these fucking blogs every time.
Wait, what?
I mean, I always start charging fucking royalties.
How's
with some no
name.
My
dues.
Jess at least
dues.
Fucked me. At least Jess fucking sucked my dick, so she's earned it. Why are all these fucking open micers?
For Christ.
What open micers?
Wait, he thought you were a virgin?
No, but you're highly regarded, though. That's why people like you.
Your boy husband is listening.
I think, you know what?
Wait, hold on. Jessica's boy husband is listening. Don't bring up she had a sexual history.
No, but
she doesn't. He's a nice kid.
A boy husband.
Oh, by the way, he wanted to come tonight, but
why not? I like that kid. He's a good kid.
He's a younger man.
What? His legs. So, how hard did you suck his dick, Jesse?
Let me just real quick. Acid buildup or something.
Before we go on. He was working out. All right, so this real quick, because this girl wrote a blog about me, which I'm going to have you read.
Which girl? The girl who she was writing the article for?
Yeah, what's her name? Megan Sullivan. And she can call in. I put it out, but she wants, since she's obviously scouring my Facebook. but she posted, this is how dishonest they are. She posts this story of this girl who some guy stuck his hand down her pants, which I would say is a real
comic? Is this a comic situation?
I think it was at an improv thing.
But, okay.
Hey, that's
not nothing.
That's not okay.
No. That's not nothing. Right. But to find that story, you got to go through 12 other stories like this. And my question is, that story, that's a very real thing. Why are you including it with some bullshit like this and diluting the impact of that story?
The real story.
By trying to pad this. So here's look at the story. He asked me out, in parentheses. He was my instructor at UCB, and I was a huge fan of his. And we went out, which was fine and great, and he was all, you need to keep this secret, etc. Then after a last date, he sent me a message to tell me that he met another girl, and he didn't want to keep seeing me. Much later, I learned he was dating/fucking a number of his current/former improv students, some at the same time as me. One friend of mine casually brought it up last year that they had slept together, and she had no idea he and I had been fooling around then too. Like, same time frame, etc. It was an awful realization. He was super gentlemanly, but the fact that he took advantage of his teaching position/seniority in the improv world and then treated
it
me
means almost nothing.
And then treated me pretty crappily in the end was rough. I actually totally quit performing after this.
Good.
All went down in the summer of 2013. I avoided improv shows and the community as a whole because I got embarrassed, felt dumb, and figured I got treated this way because I was just a silly girl who was bad at improv and kind of pathetic. Well, you're right about some things. I was scared of running into him and another girl all the time. I didn't tell anyone mostly because I was embarrassed and worried that saying something would make me look bad or petty. It was only 3 dates. He didn't owe me anything. Maybe he does. It kind of feels like I'm just being bitter. But see, she already knows it's dumb.
Yeah,
but
so
if
bitterous.
You're telling me it's as bad as someone grabbing a crotch, I guess it is important. So why are you taking this silly story?
It sounds like a diary entry from a 13-year-old girl.
That's right. And mixing it with a real victim of something.
Yeah.
So here's the issue.
That's awfulness.
If one of my friends had that happen to her, I would be like, wow, that guy's a creep. That sucks.
Yeah.
But like a man behaving, and I don't want to like betray feminism by saying this, but
like
a man behaving in a way that you don't like is not automatically harassment.
No, it ain't.
Like, and I think that right now it's been extended so far. So it's a man acting in a way that's maybe socially bad or shitty. I mean, that's a shitty way to behave. He acted shittily.
Sure.
But that is not.
He acted like a grown dude.
My guess is if
bitches.
I took a look.
He wasn't nice. It wasn't the ideal outcome for her.
I'll bet you it's
he
some guy.
Mean.
Her
Listen,
feelings were hurt.
If you respected, number one, if you respected and wanted to fuck a fucking improv coach, number one,
that's
I
on
got
you.
No mercy. It's
that's
like,
on you.
It's like if you fuck bass players and you're like, he was mean. Well, why do you fucking bass players, you dipshit.
Yeah,
so, number one, you're attracted this more, and I guarantee if we looked at him, they named
him. I want to see the picture.
It's all anonymous. That's the other bullshit.
I'm sure he's
name
a mess.
Names.
I'm sure he's a mess.
Name names. I'm sure if you and me looked at him, we'd go, this fucking guy?
I know it.
You
know
wanted
it.
To fuck, you were attracted
I
to this guy.
I know it.
Yeah, but guys, the thing
she
is,
made him a 10 in her own fucking head in that
and
world.
So,
thank goodness.
He was so good.
Thank goodness for
improv.
Girl's ability to do
to me,
that
you don't touch women unless requested.
That's right,
well,
Mike.
Well, very good, Mike. Thank you. you're unique in the room as far as that goes. I don't know.
It's true.
Mike took a stand, and I support him.
I'll wait to get requested. I'll never get laid.
I say you never stick your hand down their pants unless they say to.
No, I think that's a good. I think that's good. Yeah, may I stick my hand down my pants?
Yeah.
No.
Anyway,
may I improv my hand into your pants?
And if your vagina gets wet, then
just accept it.
I go like this. Look at his hand.
And
then his hand. I'm going in.
Just say yes.
No means yes and.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Let's take a quick break,
and we'll get to the whole thing.
We're going
to
take a quick break, and we'll be right back in a couple minutes. We'll start off with the news and with Jesse's story. Race Wars.
Race Wars. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's your boy Ocho, man of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast. Check out our podcast to hear my thoughts on sports, life, relationships, and the number one thing that means the most to me, love. Find new and archived episodes of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
That's a little shit right there, man. That's some brand new shit right there.
What was that, Shawty?
My boy Zoo that's working for it. I mean, I just bring hot music through here.
I
bring so much style and grace.
I gotta say, I've enjoyed all your goddamn.
That's ZHO, Zoo.
Zoo.
Working for it. Yeah.
Sounds like a dance to guys. I like this.
That's a dope song right there. That was the butt
Who's
of that.
That guy they all listen to now, The Weeknd, and he's got like that Dr. Seuss hair.
Who's yeah,
they?
The Weeknd. It's called The Weeknd. He's The Weeknd. You sound like your parents. Who's that boy they be listening to with that hair? Yeah,
Who
saw him on my lawn.
Did you see I got Blackett posing as a doctor, Shirati?
Oh, yes. I loved it.
Black Doogie Howser.
First of all, he look 11 years old. If you trust Tevin Campbell with your health, nigga.
No, that's what I
Thank you, Tevin Campbell. We need more black people in this fucking room, I swear to God.
Yeah, wait, what was his name,
There's just too many
his
white people in this
great.
Fucking studio.
No,
I'm
Sicilian.
Look at him.
You count half the
I'm not Italian, so that counts.
He was a psychologist.
We need more.
What
What's
kind
his
of
name?
Oh, Sherrod, I have
it's too many
hair.
Jokes
kind of
in this
girl.
Wait, Mike, calm down. It's West Palm Beach
Police. He worked in urgent care.
Everyone shut up.
Robinson facing multiple charges, including practicing medicine without a license.
He was just practicing.
Police say he gave a medical exam.
Practice make perfect.
He wasn't finishing.
They say you examined a patient.
Stop it.
Bloogie Howser.
According to his Facebook page and website, Dr. Love Robinson offers holistic urgent care at his New Birth, New Life Medical
Center. Family
planning.
I've done a lot of courses in institutions, locally and some non-locally in alternative medicine.
Malachi Love Robinson.
Oh what?
His middle name should be in quotes. Malachi Love.
Dr. Love.
What?
Wow.
Dr.
Love.
What?
Malachi Love Robinson. I don't believe that he's a doctor strictly because his name is Robinson. That's what I told Keith.
I want to see who fell for this. Like, who's the patient?
Old people.
He poses an
OBGYN.
Did he?
Yeah.
Like my old joke.
Come on.
He did what?
He poses an OBGYN. That was what he pretended to be.
Kurt, where was this?
He was looking at women's vaginas?
In Florida, yeah. Of course. Florida,
I mean, okay. He was a teenage boy, so he was probably looking somewhere around the butthole if he thought it was a vagina.
I had like an old, I can't believe it's a thing again. I used to have that old joke about gyno fraud, like the McGruff the crime dog gyno fraud tips.
What?
Yeah, like, does your gynecologist have a teardrop tattoo right here?
Yeah, that should be a dead giveaway.
Did he perform your exam with a shoehorn and
or Twizzler? This kid looks 11 years old. Who's going to let this dude touch him?
Are you a 6-year-old woman?
Did he convince this guy to do this? Did he hear your joke and
do you think maybe it was my old comedy that was causing, and we finally have a link?
This could explain a lot. What state was this in?
Florida.
Exactly.
Of course.
Exactamundo.
A gyno exam.
He looks particularly young, even for an 18-year-old. Yes. Yeah. Like he's like a baby.
No,
face.
He sells M&Ms on the subway.
Yeah.
That's
for sure. He's also
but he has some kind of a
teenager.
Mustache, so he could pass. You know what I mean? It's like,
I mean,
oh my goodness.
Where was his hospital? Or was he making house calls?
You would come to the motel and he'd
Palm
go.
Palm Beach County, I guess.
He would go, put 1 foot by this lamp.
He's like, meet me in the last aisle at Home Depot.
On this stack of phone books and rip out that clam.
Right next to Hamus.
All right, so let's kick up the news and get into this Delfino story.
Let's hit the news music and get into this.
Yeah, play the news music.
Here with the stories and headlines that really matter. It's Race Wars News with Erin Gloria Ryan. Go on and read that news, girl, with your fine ass.
Kurt.
Harassment.
Kurt, you always start giggling, like, well before it happens, so you're giving it away.
He's like a child.
So there's a couple of big news stories that we can talk about tonight. The first one.
Yes.
Scalia dead.
Justice Scalia died at 79. Whee! He was found dead this weekend. And it's a pretty big deal, so I think we should maybe go into this first.
Do you think it was a murder?
It's weird that the guy said he found a pillow on his face.
Well, here's the thing.
Right? They,
I don't know. Guys, he was a 79-year-old man who was fat. And he had a really stressful job.
He had his whole life ahead of him. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, he just it's not out of the ordinary for a prison like that to die. But a lot of people do think that it was a conspiracy. Probably. Yeah.
Because they're not doing an autopsy and all that?
They're not doing an autopsy.
Really?
His family has opted not to do an autopsy.
His son says it was natural.
He's also extremely conservative. And there's the Supreme Court is still in the process of hearing arguments.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of decisions by the Supreme Court have been decided 5-4 in recent years, especially big decisions.
Yeah.
So what Scalia's death means is that now those decisions that would have been 5-4 are now 4-4. And what happens in a tie is that the lower
decision.
Court.
Yeah.
So do you know what court is the most overturned court in the country?
Which one?
What?
The Ninth Circuit Court, which is California, and they're super liberal. Super liberal.
Why are they the most overturned?
Because it was a 5-4 conservative majority. So basically, like, anything that's coming up through the court system that is like coming up through a liberal court is in good shape.
It's going to change the court. Right. It's going to change the court.
Exactly. It's going to massively change the court.
Yeah.
Regardless of, even if we had a Republican president in office, no matter who replaced Scalia with, Scalia was really a singular kind of a guy. He was like very anti-civil rights.
Yeah,
he was extremely like, he was a kind of a voter disenfranchising, anti-gay, super conservative constructionalist.
Oh, don't forget his greatest hit of it's not technically violating the Constitution if we death penalty someone and we had it wrong. That's technically not a violation.
It's perfectly.
Yeah. But I will say for him, and I didn't know this when I was looking it up, he really stood up for my beloved violent video games.
Oh, yeah.
He's the dude that really stuck up when they were trying to fucking push them. So I give that to him.
He was a lot more pro-free speech than you would.
He also changed that, he didn't change, but he interpreted militia, we have the right to militia and have guns.
Yeah.
Every citizen has the right to have guns.
He has a really broad interpretation.
Money equals speech. He's one of those guys that, we got that whole super pact.
He also handed the 2000 election to Bush.
Yeah.
He has some stuff that I like.
I know people.
He has some stuff that I didn't like.
I think that if you read some of his more recent opinions, you would be horrified.
If you're going to kill somebody, he was a good person to kill, right? A big fat guy with like a, I said the F word, I'm sorry.
He's a big fat derp.
Well, here's the thing that's crazy is like he would have, so they're still arguing all these cases right now. And like there's a lot of like money and a lot of, I don't know, the fact that he's the guy that died is crazy. He's like he's like the fourth oldest one. It's Ginsburg's older. Yeah. There's another one that's old that's 80. Yeah. And, right.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I was actually, when I was like reading about the news about this, because it was so out of nowhere, I remember thinking that this is like crazier than House of Cards. Like, if this were happening on House of Cards, I would be like, okay, fuck this show. I'm not this has gotten too ridiculous. Okay, so now a Supreme Court justice just happens to die in West Texas.
Can I ask you something, Aaron? Why are they calling? I know they're calling that Obama shouldn't be able to nominate another judge.
Which is
judge,
ridiculous.
But what is that based on?
It's blackness. Based on them just not wanting Obama to be able to nominate anybody.
And
but
Democrat.
Here's the thing. He has a right to.
He absolutely does. Actually, the Constitution says that he must.
Do they have an argument, though, to base it on?
They're just
none?
Like, no. Oh, come on.
Because they want to make the decision for, but they're going to be in the worst of, listen, Republicans are trying to fight for that, for Obama not to do it, delay, like Trump said. But it's going to be an even worse situation if Hillary gets in.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking,
well,
Republicans?
Here's the thing. It's a lose-lose-lose situation for them. Because if they get their way and Obama doesn't nominate anybody, then everything that would have been a 5-4 is going to be a 4-4, and it'll probably revert down to a
lower
court.
It's all a lose situation.
That's what he gets, though, for vacationing in East. Where was he? East Texas?
West Texas. He was at a quail
on a vacation. Yeah.
That's a great
the
vacation.
The hunter was hunting.
That is a great vacation. West you go Texas. Quail hunting, you're going to go fucking
go kill
wild
innocent
boar
birds.
Hunting.
Do you think he was killed by a quail?
Everybody in here eat chicken. Everybody in here eat chicken. What do you mean?
Quail.
They were hunting Dan quail.
I don't mean he wasn't even hunting.
Everybody in here eat chicken.
Well, okay, so.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Chickens don't commit suicide.
I'm a vegetarian.
Fuck quails. I don't give a rat fuck about them. But
you can hunt boars. You can also hunt boars from helicopters in Texas. It's great.
Yeah, I'm for that. I'm going to prop that.
It's overpopulation.
The Constitution guarantees it, according to Antonin Scalia. But anyway, so it's bad if they listen to the Republicans and they don't. And it also is bad for the Republicans in that case, because then the Republicans look like the jackasses that are like, you know, the blockage of the intestines of the legislative process, essentially.
Yeah, you don't want to tie up the
system. They look really bad. And
the Crohn's disease of the...
and they're harming themselves for the election, because this is a presidential election year. And in recent history, Democrats have won big in presidential election year. So basically they're like, no, don't nominate a new person. But right now they have the Senate, and they could actually push Obama to nominate a moderate. But what they're doing instead is being like, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Right.
And
like
quails. When they delay, what'll
like quails.
They're running around like shot quails. And what happens when what happens come November when Democrats are more motivated to vote? What if the Senate flips? Then we're going to get like another super liberal. Like and then it's going to be, and then they are fucked.
Well, here's my other question, because you know I was like right on Facebook, like openly celebrating this fat fuck's dead.
Whoa, why?
Fuck him.
He worked for. Listen, he loved his country. You son of a bitch.
What was he? My grandpa. So fucking. But no, that's the thing, because people are like, that's terrible. I've been reading all these articles, like you should see the hate filled liberal responses
to his death.
Yeah, to his death. It's like, number one, the guy writing it doesn't know Scalia either. He's just a symbol to you, same as he is to me, and he's your symbol, and fuck your fucking symbol, okay? What is he? He's not your grandpa, motherfucker.
He's somebody's grandpa.
But what they're trying to say is, this is tasteless because you're gloating about our loss of conservative power with this guy dying. It's not anything with his fucking humanity.
Right.
And secondly, you can't vote them out of office, so why wouldn't I be happy that he's dead? It's the only way to get rid of the fucker.
That's a crazy law that you have to, you know, death is the only way
that's
to...
That's not true. You can retire.
You can retire.
And that's why...
No, it's not forced labor.
And that's why
you can leave if you want to.
No, but I'm saying it's an odd job where the only way... an office where you're the only way
you
can leave...
Well, you can be impeached. I had no idea.
But no one's ever been impeached, though, right?
I think, like, in the, like, 1790s.
That doesn't count.
So,
that's when it was all white. Who cares?
And they were hanging witches. Salem, Massachusetts, they were, like, burning witches, right?
Yeah. So now they're going to have a lesbian black judge who's going to take the place.
That'd be cool
as
shit.
Or tranny.
Well...
Transsexual.
So if Obama's going to be smart about who he nominates, he'll pick
tranny.
Somebody... He'll pick somebody knowing the Senate's going to reject them, but he'll pick somebody that's part of a group that, like... will get mad if somebody who's in the group is rejected, and he'll nominate a Hispanic person.
Oh, is that the way to do it?
Or a black person, and then there'll be this big congressional or this big Senate theater.
Or Asian?
Of them.
What about Asian? It's the Asian time.
Well, do you remember when Sotomayor was there? There was some controversy because she said some comments about I would think a wise Latina woman would be better. Do you remember? You know what I'm talking about?
She called herself a wise Latina.
And I understand the anger because there's I mean, a wise Latin. Shut up.
Stop it. Stop it. Kurt, will you
I
just...
see you, stupid. I'm Kurt. Coming, stupid.
Kurt.
Hey, stupid. You stupid.
Kurt.
That's that, a wise that Latina was, talk.
Everybody's not the Latina Kurt's actually, ought to do the right thing, Kurt.
Kurt's actually reading a Supreme Court opinion.
Let's go for it.
You think Rosie Perez is not going to be a Supreme Court?
Hold on. I was just reading her words.
Oh, my God.
I think
no.
You Clarence Thomas is stupid.
Apparently, you never heard Sotomayor talk before.
She's
no, I heard her talk. She talks like Gina Brion.
She's amazing.
No, she does not.
Yeah, she kind of looks like her.
Stop trying to box Latinos in the same box. You just have to name another Latino. He's like Gina.
Yeah.
I base it off of what I know from Gina's teachings.
Yeah, I have face blind.
Let people be their own self, you son of a bitch.
If they got the same sideburns, I say they're the same person.
We call black people keefies. Look at all these keefies in here.
Keefies?
I go off of what I know from Keith.
Oh, Keith Robinson?
Keith Robinson. Keefies. There's a bunch of keefies in here.
A bunch of keefies. When's Keith? Keith's coming straight here, by the way, since he's back in action.
Yeah. But
What else is what's on the next news?
So there is a news item that this regards you, Kurt.
Uh-oh. But wait, is there another thing before Scalia, or was that all
that? No, let's talk about this. I think that this would probably be the thing to move on to.
Okay, let's do it.
Because you seem fired up during the breaks.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Opposed to.
Yes. So, Kurt, I'm actually going to... Actually, Jessica, I'm going to throw to you.
Oh, do you want to read the blog of the girl?
Yeah, I think that we should probably...
Okay, so it's womenincomedy.org. Okay.
I haven't heard of this.
Okay, well, you can fill out a form. Well, Aaron, this is what I was going to say. Why don't you, because you printed up something of just describing what womenincomedy.org is.
It's
based on in Chicago, they were going to do a comedy blackout or something.
Yeah.
Okay, just explain that, and then we'll go to
Jessica. So there's a Women in Comedy website that purports to be a place for women to utilize resources, connect with each other, empower each other. But what it's famous for at this point is having a form that you can fill out if you're a woman in comedy anonymously about alleged sexual harassment that you've faced from men in comedy.
Like a comedy rape hotline.
Well, they're very general with it. This is my issue is, one, the anonymity. If there's a guy out there, if this is to help women, right?
Right, uh-huh.
And there's a guy out there fucking sexually assaulting women who's like a booker, say the guy's fucking name. Just say his name.
Right.
I don't understand why you're not saying the fucking name.
I think they should say the name.
But also,
I don't think they should say the dude's name. What if the bitch is lying?
Well, there should be a fucking discussion about it. I'm not for this, like, anonymous, you take no risk. You're right. What if they are lying? And then that should be talked about.
And then this dude's life is destroyed.
Well, I don't think it'll be destroyed just because someone anonymously said something.
You just don't want to be on the list.
If you put, I got a story for myself. I'll write my own fucking story on there. I know who I fucking sexually harassed.
I don't like that. That's
everybody.
Well, I think this is...
Jesus. That, okay. I don't feel safe.
Yeah,
I need a safe space. This is not.
Well, but this is the thing. It's so loose what the deaf, because they have the form you fill out, and they go, just tell us about like the gross thing that happened to you. Do you have the form? Were you able to find?
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like ambulance chasing for comedians.
That's a very good way to put it.
That's kind of creepy. I mean, I think you just call the cops if someone's doing that.
Hold on, let's see. Hold on, I want to see what the, there's a form you fill out.
Call the cops.
By the way, men are allowed to fill out the form also.
Yeah, hang on.
Well, this is the other thing, man. If you're getting sexually assaulted somewhere, call the fucking cops.
Call the cops. Yeah.
Call the people you call.
I know cops don't have a great history, but if we all keep reporting it, they're going to have to get better.
Yeah. Like things that happened to me. I can hear
this. Okay. Gross things that happened to me as a woman in comedy. Now, right off the bat, gross things happen. Like what? Did someone put a gun on the table your first night in comedy?
Yeah.
Well, like what kind of gross thing?
I didn't get a free meal when I had
lunch. Remember when we had chicken in our face?
Well, that didn't that happened to Kevin Hart. He had chicken. He's not a woman, but someone did peg him in the face with a chicken wing.
Oh, that happens all the time.
I got chicken thrown at me.
Yeah.
Oh, you had chicken thrown at you.
I had chicken
Why didn't you
at
fill
me.
Out the form?
Jessica.
Now was hold on.
No, we had one audience member that time.
Jess, when did this inappropriate, gross behavior towards you? See, this is my issue.
At 4 in the morning in Atlantic City.
Now, here's how I know if it's a black club. Here's how I know if it's a black crowd or a white crowd. Did the chicken bone have chicken on it?
No, it had meat on it.
That's a white crowd.
And that's
crowd.
No, that's how you know black people don't like you, as Voss said, when they're wasting chicken.
Oh, yeah. I would think they'd eat the meat off the bone.
During class, at a show?
Rehearsal. So, look, you will not be named, and the perpetrator will not be mentioned or named in any posts. Okay, what's the point? I don't understand.
Post-show hangout.
But the point is to create a fucking false narrative. That's the point of
it. And people are going to exaggerate and fucking make up all this shit because you ain't putting no names in it. And nobody. It's just bullshit.
It's like this. I just read a thing about the plight of funny women. Okay? It was in the Atlantic. The plight is men are less likely to think you're going to be funny. And they did a study in a class. And by the way, when we read this blog, see.
That's an old
story. Right. Well, it's on this website. They link to it. Yeah. The Plight of Funny Women. And it was like the men didn't give the women credit. But at no point did they tell you the actual jokes that the men and women wrote.
Right.
So there's no way to judge.
Right.
All we know is the result wasn't what we wanted. But I you understand? But if you're not putting the jokes, how do I know who was funny and wasn't funny?
Right.
And once again, why are non-comedians analyzing this data like they know what the fuck they're talking
about.
They
have no idea.
That drives me crazy.
Doesn't it? Why would a journalist fucking have the balls to fucking decide anything about comedy when they're not an expert?
I agree.
Well, you're not in the trenches. You have no idea what's going on.
No idea.
Everyone's an expert now.
I think that
they like to think they are.
I think that applies, though, to like people who report on any industry. Like,
right.
You know, comedy is part of entertainment and there are going to be reporters who report on entertainment. Like, somebody who's reporting on business isn't necessarily a business executive, and so there's going to be an element of unfamiliarity with it. And so I think that, like, on one hand, I think it's exceptionally bad when it comes to like reporters writing about comedy, just because I have had that experience where I've been writing in comedy and I'm around comedians all the time and
have no idea.
No, I get the idea that like, I get the impression that journalists are just like every time there's like a host changeover, they're like, these are the people who should host. And they have like no basis in reality.
Zero.
No, I used to on Facebook put up fake lists of my suggestions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I had Prongy Jip Jap and some other.
That's why like,
not only is her one woman poem show the greatest, because as soon as someone would be like leaving a show, then these people are like, here's who neat. And it's not because they think they're funny, even though that's what they're saying.
Right.
It's literally they're trying to make this some college affirmative action
thing. They also don't understand like who the people, like I saw, like, for example, when the Daily Show host was flipping over.
Right.
I saw a lot of people suggesting hosts for The Daily Show for people, like they were suggesting people that weren't writers be the hosts.
Right.
And it's like part of Jon Stewart's whole thing was that he like wrote.
Well, he was a comedian.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Like they were not comedy writers. Like some of the people they suggested were like comedic actresses.
Well, yeah, well, how about when they kept going, how about Jessica Williams? And then Jessica Williams had to go, hey, I'm not qualified to host the show.
Who's Jessica Williams?
The black girl, the hot one on The Daily Show.
Yeah, yeah.
She
is
very pretty.
Yeah.
But they go, they post her like, she'd be perfect. And she's like, listen, I don't even want to take that on. Like, I'm not ready to do something like that.
And then they wrote something that was like, they accused her of having, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like when you don't think you're good enough.
Right, self-hate.
Small nuts? Small balls?
I'm
blanking out.
I'm having a brain fart.
No, because what they do, what these people who aren't comics do, this is the nice thing about comedy, dude, is you really do get to be above whatever your station in life. If you're stand up anyway, like you, if you think of the people you know in comedy or who you know, it's the most diverse fucking people, right?
Yeah.
And you get to fucking be with them outside of whatever your fucking identity is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a woman or a black or any of that
right,
shit.
Right. You don't got
to
be none of that shit.
All that bullshit all is what outsiders put on it.
Right.
Right.
And if you know comics you're friends with and you respect, none of that shit comes up.
I never see white comics and black when I come in the room like, oh, it's all white. I just see comics.
Right.
I just see comedians.
Only exists.
Or he's they funny. Want. Oh, I love to work. Like when you're in line, I'm so glad I'm on that lineup because those people are funny.
So I see comedians.
One and never can't. Comics.
Yeah.
Never mattered.
One of the things that I thought about when I was like looking at this page, Kurt, was thinking about how, I mean, it is anonymous, and so that removes a little bit of the potential disastrousness from
it.
But I think also when you're in a business, if you're a comic, part of your job is to get attention, right?
Right.
Get people to pay attention to you and laugh. And if this is a way for you to get attention by like telling, like by I don't know.
Get attention
no, you're
by
right.
doing your
you
jokes.
You're right. Like, but look, you know a better way to get attention?
To get on stage
be
and
funny.
Tell jokes.
Funny.
Oh, no. You're forgetting the best way. To use my fucking basic cable name and associate it with your name and your fucking bravery, which is what this chick's
doing. That's what I'm saying. It's a form of like coattailing.
She did that.
Well, yeah. So first, Jessica. Now, so Jess And you're not the only one. Lisa was going to call in, but I don't know if she's going to call in now. But this person was going around asking a lot of people, tell me about how the men have hurt you in comedy. And she's like, well, men really haven't hurt me. And if they did, I would not take it. I wouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be cowed out of comedy. Look, when did this I saw some inappropriate gross behavior. Now I can't do comedy. Isn't that an insult to you as a working comic?
Yeah.
That's making women weak.
Also, like, name an industry where there isn't fucking gross behavior. Like, in journalism, there's gross behavior. In television, there's gross behavior. In finance, where I used to work, there is really
wherever
fucking
you have
nuts
women with their gross vaginas, is going to be gross behavior.
Oh, so Rod's coming out of the closet now.
Look at
I love a gross
but
vagina.
See, look at okay. We take the, it will be. Look what it says, Shadi. The collective experiences. Now, you say collective, but you're editing out the ones that don't fall in with this fucking narrative, right?
Yeah.
The collective experience will remain anonymous and will be posted in a post-secret format with photos and quotes of text from selected experiences to illustrate the everyday microaggressions.
I don't understand what she's saying. I'm
everyday
sorry.
Microaggressions.
What's a microaggression? I'm sorry.
Like all the shit I said to you about
penis.
Tim Homiu. Yeah.
Small penises.
Are your dirty Jew family?
Yeah. I don't know what this all means.
The everyday assault/crimes. That's happening to you every day. And traumas we experience as a community. There you go. Number one, you're not a community, female. You're not all in this together. You're a fucking lone wolf, and most of your allies.
You'll cut each other's throats if you had to for a part.
This nonsense that it's the girls against the boys is what's garbage about this. And that's and I'm not trying to destroy this. It's going to do nothing because it's anyone with a brain in their head or who's remotely talented is not going to give a shit about it.
No.
But do you see the fucking nonsense here? And all I said was you're using a real loose fucking format to make it out like women just can't win. It's like no matter what, we can never get a laugh or get a job. If microaggressions made you leave comedy, you did not belong. That's what you deserve. First of all, if you just want to be a comedian, you deserve to be verbally harassed.
Yeah.
You deserve.
You where do you go when you're not?
Didn't you ever see Glengarry Glen Ross?
Yeah.
You think this is abuse? How are you going to take the abuse you get on a set?
Yeah.
That's the cost of doing bit because this is a dream job. I don't have to do what some working stiff does.
Yep.
I get paid to tell my dumb thoughts. And these millennial, and this girl's a millennial dipstick,
oh, no.
They're so entitled, they think they're supposed to just waltz into a fucking career and never feel microaggressed. Or any of this. I should never have to deal with. Yeah, you should, because you don't have a real job. You wanted to work in improv.
Yeah.
And by the way, if the person who did this had a fucking brain, they would be uniting with the other male and female improvers to get fucking paid.
Yeah.
How stand-ups do.
Instead of worrying about some bullshit, make-believe shit, how about get together and get some money?
How about how you don't get paid and fucking UCB has a franchise based on unpaid labor?
Yes.
Slavery. Look at McDonald's. You
slavery.
Know they, even the employees at McDonald's got together and was like, we should get paid.
I always thought
that comedy should
be
unionized.
But the improv community are stupid fucking,
it's so hard.
They're trust fund fucking pussies. It's
they are.
You know how you're like, why aren't there a lot of black surfers? Because surfing is expensive.
It's an expensive sport.
And so is improv. Now, a lot of black people didn't have the money to take improv. That's why it's exclusively, and that's why it doesn't pay. Because these white trust fund babies don't even need to earn a living from this.
They don't need to earn a living.
Right. So, okay. So this girl came.
Fill out this form. I see it now and I remember it, and I filled it out with the stuff I put on my blog, and I don't know if I actually sent it or not. I did it before like any of this. I did it before I posted the blog entry or anything. Someone sent me this and I was like, I'm gonna put these women on here.
I want to set you up though. Let me set it up for you. So Jessica, before she posted this blog about what happened to her, because she hadn't experienced sexual male hurting her, she was females that she
and
felt
I,
were mean
I really
to her
tried. I
okay
really
Jessica, I'm sorry
it.
For fingering you in so, the car.
There we go.
Thank you for the apology.
Guys, that was gross and inappropriate.
So finger bang. But we're in a safe space now.
But you see how you're a fucking pro talking to us because we're all fucking pros and you don't do this whiny like if I said something inappropriate, you'd probably smash me and say something back. Because that's your job as a comic. Anyway, so Jess posts this thing. She gets all these comments. You ended up taking down your blog.
I took down the post.
She took it down.
I did.
She got intimidated by some LA female comics.
I heard some of my friends reached out and they were like, you hurt my feelings, you hurt our friends' feelings, everybody's upset, you pissed everyone off.
LA sucks.
You know, and I felt bad. Yeah. I said, you know what, I'm just going to take
and
it.
She felt bad. They gaslighted her.
What platform was it on?
What did you say?
Her own blog.
No, I know, but was it Tumblr?
She's going to take me back to a nightclub in
1940. Can I say something really obnoxious?
Wait, one at a time. Go ahead.
I always find the unfunny comics like this are the ones that do this.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Maybe one of them is funny, but it's just me.
No, because funny people, listen, if you're a woman and you're funny, it doesn't fucking matter if people think women are funny. In fact, if they think women suck, that's
it's
an advantage.
For you, right. You know,
because
you
when
don't.
You're funny, they go, wow, I didn't even know a woman could be funny. Oh, yay. So if you're not getting anything out of this business, you stink. It's that simple. Yeah. Funny people are going to get something sooner or later. Okay?
For and I got 17. Part, yeah.
Dude, I got 17 years in this business. And just now I can earn a living. And it ain't nobody's fault it took that long but mine. And
but it's not a fault. It's just that's how it is. It ain't because you wasn't fucking trying or working on it or working doing comedy every night.
So wait, so
it's like that's just how it is.
Right. But see, some people feel they shouldn't have a path. They're like, why don't I have all my dreams? Yeah. So okay, so that's Jessica gets shamed out of she takes her thing down, okay.
What was the title of it?
Well, the title was Men List of Men Who Harassed Me in Comedy.
Okay.
Which was a clickbait
comedian,
grabber, actually.
I wanted people to see this. I wanted people to read it. You know,
right,
so I
wrote
a juicy
you wrote it like
title.
That. Yeah, perfect.
And then there's a picture of young Kurt and Jessica.
That picture was terrible, terrible picture.
By the way, the ongoing theme here is I have to be dragged into everything all the time.
Actually,
like
the most
everyone.
Offensive thing I did on that post was post
that
photo.
His picture. Yeah. Why would you put that offensive face
hold
on?
Wait, do you see? Look at this picture of
precious
me.
Blog.
Yeah, wait, do you see this fucking young Twinkie in love?
I saw that pic.
Oh, you've here. Seen it?
I think
okay.
We're both high in this picture.
Yeah,
you
go
look
down.
Like 85% of Jersey dudes.
I might have. Wait, will you scroll down, Aaron? I just want to show the picture to show up. Oh,
yes.
Look at young Curti with a better hairline.
Yes, it's awesome. I love that.
But
picture.
Read this line from Jessica. On the contrary, the majority of stories I have about men in comedy are ones about men who've pushed me along, lifted me up, gave me words of encouragement, and got me paid gigs.
Boom.
And that's what this girl didn't like because she wants a story of how men make it hard for women.
And that's what they wanted you to take down?
I took the whole thing.
Someone told. Wait, hold on.
Back up. I put it back.
This
up.
Enraged, but this is what enraged me because you said this to me on the phone, Jess. I go. Why would you get bullied out of that? And Jess goes, well, what if I am hurting the cause? They
no,
told
I said, what
her
if I'm hurting my friends.
Yeah, she's hurt. You're not hurting your friends. You're hurting this bullshit story that this girl, who's not your friend, is trying to make.
Right.
Now, by the way, the person who got Jessica to try to take it down initially is not this girl from Women in Comedy.
Right.
But because I went on Facebook and talked about it, now this girl who wasn't even involved, other than she runs that website, brought me up. So, Jess, I want you to read. Can you read this? I want you to read from her blog a little bit.
Did she write about you?
Yeah, of course.
Excellent.
I emailed Jessica Delfino about harassment in comedy, and it's from the blog Shut Up Meg, which, by the way, great title.
Meg Ryan?
Wow.
Yeah, shut up.
Meg Sullivan.
It's so interesting that she... Wow.
Yeah, Meg Sullivan.
That she thought that it was...
Now, by the way, just for the record, I'm not imparting any of this, but the bottom line here is Meg's got some personal problems, what I've gathered, which she mistakes for like feminism.
Okay.
And well, once again, a blogger who's been in and out of a mental institution is calling me out.
Okay.
All right, but here, just read this because this is about you. Go ahead. And then we'll take little pauses.
I haven't even seen this.
Will you put it up, Aaron? Yeah. It's what is the title of it?
It's I emailed Jessica Delfino about harassment in comedy.
Yeah, but just type that in. Yeah.
She said,
I emailed Megan, put Megan, M-E-H. By the way, Megan is welcome to call in, but she won't because these girls all won't ever fucking call in. But if she wants
to. Well, let me talk to her. I got a way around women.
Where is it? Megan Sullivan.
Did you email her and invite her to call in?
She's scouring my Facebook so she can see the invite on there. Right. I don't want to be guilty of harassment and then someone has to fill out a form.
No,
there's blogs. Internet. Kurt Metzger harassed me. He asked me over 3 times to appear on his show.
Yes, I told you 4 times that I don't want to do it.
That's rape.
That's rape. I
and
was
I didn't
raped
tell
by Kurt.
You,
where
not,
the fuck
I did
is
not
it?
Mention her. I didn't mention her name. I didn't
That's
tell
right.
anybody her name.
You never said
That's
her
it.
Name to me, Jess,
is
right?
This it?
I didn't even know the girl's name until
look,
she wrote this
I
blog.
I actually just got an email from her. I see at 3:45 today where she had
is that
mentioned.
Her site?
She said she wrote a, you know.
Okay,
she,
go ahead. Read it, Ro. Read it.
She said, I emailed Jessica Delfino about harassment. Hello, my name is Meg. You probably have no idea who I am because I am no one important and I have have spent a lot of time doing nothing with my life aside from 7 part-time years in stand-up comedy. I went a little cray-cray last year after taking steroids for stomach pain and thought I was God for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure your problems are caused by men. Go ahead. I'm sure it couldn't be this. Okay.
I told a few people I was psychic. Some members of my family don't speak to me since I went on a podcast and called them all cunts and wrote about them on Facebook while I was
starting to like
God.
Her.
I know. She sounds pretty cool. This is the cool
wild bitch.
This is the cool part of her.
The honest part.
Yeah.
I've made some major mistakes in my life. All of this is to say I won't claim to be a shining example of human goodness. I'm just an ordinary person trying to stand up to injustice and enact positive change in the
okay,
world.
Now hold on. No, you're not. You're trying to aggrandize yourself and take your personal problems and do the, I'm every woman.
Plus, stop it,
it's all about me.
I'm trying to fight Joseph. It's like,
no, you're not. You didn't get what you wanted.
You
in
guys,
co-
you guys,
she thought she was God. Maybe she did think
this,
she was
listen,
she's having
some
delusions.
I looked her up. I watched her comedy. Injustice. There's no way a man is holding you back. You need a little more practice at stand up. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Okay, everybody
ahead,
sucks. Go ahead.
Okay. She says, most importantly, I am the woman who asked comedy veteran Jessica Delfino to share any stories she might have about being harassed by male comedians. That's sad. That's not most importantly, but okay. Then she says, I hope you've come to this post without any preconceived ideas of what my intentions were. If you were angry because you thought I had an agenda in asking these women to speak up about their experiences, well, mm-hmm. you were right. My agenda, however, is a good one, and whether or not you choose to believe that is up to you. Here are the facts. Last week, I posted on a Facebook group page that I was looking for women to contribute their stories to a book I'm writing about the harassment of women, the harassment women experience in comedy. I was looking for women who were not afraid to name names, especially the big names. Yep, you read that correctly. Jessica emailed me and asked for more info about my project. She said she didn't have a ton of stories about being harassed, but she did have some positive experiences to share. While I was interested in the positive experiences, that's not what I wanted to write about because that hasn't been my personal experience. What? Focusing on the positive stories also wouldn't be true to the project itself, which is designed to create social.
Okay, hold on right there. Now, do you see the bullshit of this?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's not. It's not
bullshit.
Women in comedy at all.
No.
She goes, Jessica, she goes, I was interested in positive experience. That's not what I want to write about because that hasn't been my personal experience. So it's not about women.
In
it's
comedy,
about
it's her in
you,
comedy.
This
her
is
in
meganincomedy.org.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've decided I'm not further along because of fucking men and somebody validate what I already, my confirmation bias. And that's the problem I have with this. Because don't create an illusion that men are your enemy. 9 times out of 10, men are going to be your allies in this business if you're a female comic. And by the way, the whole reason she's writing about me in this is because I'm going to bat for a fucking woman that got bullied out of her point of view.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
She says, here's the email I wrote in response to Jessica's original inquiry of my Facebook post. Hi, Jessica. Thank you for your email and being willing to tell your stories. This book is about the female experience in comedy and how in many ways the environment has stagnated and seemed to become a place where harmless sexist behavior is condoned, protected, and encouraged. Not in all circles, but in many this seems to be the case. I want to put as many experiences into this book as possible to show that this is a real thing women go through and include the history of women in comedy to show that women are just as entitled to the space as men are, if not simply by virtue of being a fellow human.
Okay, hold on.
How long has
stop,
she been doing comedy? This
bitch
is just,
we don't have a lot of time.
She's not a comedian.
Listen,
just,
but you see where she's mistaken, and this is an open mic or halftime.
Right.
Yeah,
women
half-time,
are just
part-time.
As entitled to the space as men.
She's not a comedian. They're,
first of all, no one is entitled to this space. You're not
nobody.
Entitled to be a comic.
No.
No one wants,
no.
No, it doesn't matter what your sex, just
right.
So you know. The business does not need or want you.
Yeah.
You actually have no business being a
it's
fucking comic.
It's not your right to be on
and
stage.
And if you want
to
be a comic, you better take all the verbal. Now, I'm not saying sexualist. And she does a little tricky thing here where she, in my comments, I said brutal sexual harassment, assault. I'm not talking about that. That's always wrong.
Right.
However, microaggression, sexist jokes. Things about whatever racial jokes. You should have to hear all of that,
exactly,
because that's what makes you strong and not weak. Your job as a comic is when I go, "Hey, you women aren't funny." You, Stacy, say something funny back to me, like, "Shut up, you fucking Turkish faced." Whatever you want to say to
you're
me.
Turkish?
No, that worked.
No, but whatever. My big, you insult
oh,
me back.
Turk face.
Right. You fight back.
You
know, but you fight back. You don't write a blog about how you bravely had to hear an insult. You insult me because I deserve it.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And men respect that.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at the comedy table and you break balls with the guys, you're one of the fucking guys
right.
for sure.
And vice versa.
Right.
And
exactly.
And men have helped me just like Jessica, and I've helped some guys. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
And other women.
Yes.
I help my friends.
Because we're not friends based on none of the gender.
No.
The men are not all in this together, and the women are not all in this together.
No, if I like you, you're my friend. I don't care what if you have a dick or a pussy. All
right, so hold on. Keep going down.
I got both.
This is so
keep
long.
Going down. I know, so keep going. Let me tell you the important parts.
We only got 3 minutes left, too.
Oh, motherfucker, really?
That's how it is, Kurt. That's how the show goes. All right,
well,
baby.
Look, I want Megan Sullivan, and listen.
Let's
I'm
invite
not,
Megan Sullivan to the show. How about that?
I would love, but you
give
know.
Give her a safe space.
I have a feeling. Okay, now look, Megan.
There's lots of water.
Aaron from Jezebel is here. Female comics are here. It's not just my show, okay?
Yes.
Me and Sherrod do it together with Aaron and other people.
That's right.
It's not an unsafe space by any means.
No.
I'm not trying to win. I just want to understand what in the hell you're doing.
If we have to, we'll bring Mrs. Garrett in here so
yes.
you can feel comfortable.
My issue, she's bringing up Bill Cosby.
From
you see,
facts
look at this, equating Bill Cosby with someone going, hey, nice tits. It's not even the same. But look, my issue with this, with what this site is doing is.
I don't like part-time comics anyway.
It's just,
if you're
you're
comic,
creating,
you're not a comic.
That's true. You're creating a false narrative that that male comedians make it dangerous for female comedians. No, they don't, and some of your best friends are going to be male comedians.
Agreed.
Unless you're fucking crazy.
And, you know, I'm not against this girl's general idea of wanting to, as a writer, as a comedian, we look for projects to do, you know, I started a rape whistle choir, and I'm performing at City Hall, you know,
nice.
And it'll be fun, it'll be kind of fucking crazy.
What, so y'all at City Hall?
That's on, it's
y'all
on.
Have all the
I
rape whistles down. You're gonna have all the rape whistles downtown, right?
Got,
so I'll be uptown that night.
I got customized rape whistles. I'm giving 250 rape whistles out and books, and we're playing rape whistle
it.
Parodies on these. It's gonna be awesome.
But, race
Wars,
the hour show. We're giving out broken rape whistles.
All right, listen, Megan, you're welcome on the show. I look, I'm
we
not holding my
left.
Breath
let's
that she's coming.
Let's think
I'm
our guests. Let's think our guests.
Yes, Stacy, good to see you again.
Thank you,
Mike Buschetti. It's always good to see you, brother.
Thank you for coming
on,
Mikey.
We had such a great time.
We had such a great time.
So great to see
Jess Delfino. Thanks for coming. By the way, why am I always Mr. Misogyny? You know how I'm friends with all my fucking exes and I'm supposedly this fucking bad guy?
You're such a, I'm like, I'm surprised. Yeah, you know.
Because they don't know me.
A pep talk than Kurt. I got to say, like, you know, for years, even though Kurt and I had our differences, whenever I really need someone to listen, I call Kurt.
I agree.
I call him like once a year and I complain.
But
he
the
sets
guy
me
there,
straight.
You got to read the rest of her blog. But the person they're talking at is not me. It's always some other guy that they made up, the man in their head they're yelling at. And then they think it's me for some reason.
Daddy.
It's you.
It's Daddy.
And by
it's
the
Daddy.
Way, go
Daddy.
Through my fucking Facebook all you want. I stand by everything I fucking. I don't put anything I can't defend.
Yeah.
And I like to defend it. So by all means, try. You're not going to get me fired. There ain't some. I ain't doing. I'm fucking righteous, motherfucker.
Yeah.
All right.
You can't fire Kung Fu. He just walks the earth.
All right, so
that's it. Mike Bruchetti, thank you for coming on.
Anybody promote anything?
Yes. Oh, yeah, Stacey, go ahead.
Stacey, what do you want to promote?
Follow me on Twitter.
And your podcast.
The Stacey Pressman Hour. Listen to it. There's some great episodes. Yeah.
Okay, Mike. Perfect.
Guys, we're going to be in L.A. actually next month.
Okay.
Stacey's heading to London Improv in L.A.
March
18th, 8 p.m.
Jess.
I'll be at City Hall on March 8th giving out rape whistles.
I'm going to be there.
Hey, I'm in
National Women's Day.
I'll be there smashing rape whistles.
11 a.m.
I'm going to be in Vancouver, by the way, for a nasty show with Big J's out there, too.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Wait.
You guys are
23rd to 27th.
Vermont this Friday, and then Boston at the Wilbur Saturday and Sunday.
Aaron?
Cool. Check out vocative.com because I edit it.
All right, excellent. And you guys in Karen Krestemel?
Krestemel, the last episode was whatever, but then the one before that was kind of bomb. So listen, if
all
you
right.
feel like it.
Great job promoting.
Race Wars, thank you for listening. We're going into some music. We out of here. That's Race Wars. We done.
Right.
Peace.